Wrestling is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this November 5th, 2024, Election Day across the United States. And hope you're doing well on another beautiful day in the Auburn Opelika area. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. And you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Yesterday's show was a doozy, and I'm sure today will be much similar to that. And lots to get to on the show today. More college football conversations, more results from the weekend around the SEC, and really around college football. And that's important because tonight, the results matter tonight, ladies and gentlemen. The results are really important tonight. We're all going to sit around our TVs, and we're going to watch, and we're going to sit on the edge of our seats, and we're going to be nervous. We're going to be shaking all around and holding our families tight together and waiting for the result that everybody, well, almost everybody, has a hand in. The college football playoff rankings come out tonight. We're so excited about it. Can't wait to keep up with that tonight as the first college football playoff rankings are released. And we're going to get into this today, but just remember, the rankings that come out tonight, I'm not saying they don't matter, but they're going to change quite a bit. And there's a difference in the rankings and the final bracket that we have at the end of this thing. We're going to get into all of that as we go today. Plus, in my book, the greatest season of the year has officially tipped off as of last night. College basketball is back. That's right. Upsets already happened. Day one of college basketball, and upsets have already taken place. If that doesn't tell you how great this season's going to be, I don't know what to tell you, man. So we're going to dive into some college basketball things today as well. And I say we because I'm not alone in the studio. He's with me every Tuesday. Believe he's going to be with me tomorrow as well. Christian Griffin is in the studio, voice of the Lee Scott Warriors. And proud of you for crawling out of bed and hopping in here after the depression of last Friday night. In seriousness, I know it was tough. I know it was not easy to be on the air and call a football game where your team loses and misses out on the playoffs, but you and Red did a fantastic job this season on Lee Scott, my man.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, you mentioned it was basketball season. I wasn't ready to turn the page, but now that I guess we've kind of been forced to turn the page, man, am I excited for it. You mentioned the upsets that have already happened, and gosh, I mean, you said it was November already. It's crazy to think about that. We can only make the joke once, so we'll go ahead and make it now about how it's dark at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Now,
I hate it.
That's a one-time joke that you can get away with saying, but college basketball is here. Before you blink, it'll be the best time of the year with March Madness and the Masters. I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago with
your April,
best rankings,
right?
Of months.
Yeah.
And late March, early April, I feel like is up there with the best of them, and you're just now getting the preview of it. UCF taking down Texas A&M week one, a couple other upsets. Court stormings.
There you go.
There we go. Night one, all that you can ask for. And then the college football rankings come out. You'd say it doesn't matter. I'll say it. It doesn't matter. I mean, how often have those been the exact same going in from week 9 to week 13 or 14.
Well, now when there's so many changing variables, and there's 12 variables now instead of 4. I mean, there's 12 teams instead of 4 teams. And so
in a weird way, sorry not to cut you off, but it feels like although there are 12 of them, I think you might have talked about it yesterday where going into last week it still felt like there were 30 teams that were fighting for it. You almost still feel like you're at that point now, even going back to last year, where it feels like there's the four distinct teams, maybe five or six. In this one, you feel like it's starting to get dwindled down, and this weekend is going to be even more of a story, narrowing down the 12 even further.
But the issue is, right, the issue is just because you have the five or six distinct teams of college football doesn't mean that they're going to be the top five or six, right? Because you have the conference qualifiers. And again, we're going to get to all of that as we go today because I can already tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to be a fan of having a rankings 1 through 25 and then having a 12-team bracket that does not directly reciprocate that top 25 ranking system because they're going to fill it in based off of the qualifications, not based off the rankings. And I don't like that.
So you're saying the number three team in the country in the college football rankings might be the five or six seed
or
in
worse.
The playoff?
Or, yeah. Yeah, depending on because right. You've got the automatic qualifiers based off of the conference championships. And so I look at a team like Ohio State who I think most people can argue is still a really good football team and is probably a top five team in college football, but they will not be a top five seed if the playoff were to start today because they would not be a Big 12 champion. That would go to either, as of right now, that would go to either Oregon
or Indiana.
Yeah. And so then, and you're talking about an Oregon team that if the season ended today, and the one game that they had to win, they didn't. It's the Big Ten Championship. You're telling me they're not a top five team in college football? That's a lie. But they wouldn't be top five in the college football playoff. You see where I'm going here? It's going to get confusing. And we're going to have to explain this so many times. And ESPN's going to have to explain this so many times. And there will still be confusion. And there will still be uproar and outrage about all of this. But lots to get to with that today. Plus Auburn and Vanderbilt from this weekend.
Another thing going off to what you're talking about is a crazy thought of if you're the 12th ranked team in the country and Boise State is 16 or 17, you could very well get left out.
Absolutely.
Even if you are the 11th or 12th ranked team. If you're Penn State and you go 10-2, right, and your losses are to Ohio State and whoever else that they have to play, and you find yourself one of the best teams in the country, but, well, the group of five automatic's going to slide right in there for you, and all of a sudden you feel like you're Florida State last year getting left out.
Because we wanted them to be included. We wanted it to be fair. Well, you're going to get...
That's about life, right?
Yeah, you're going to get your wish, I'll tell you what. So, talking about all that and more here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Phone lines are open this afternoon. No guest on the phone, so that means there's plenty of time for you to be a part of it. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. 321-1390, or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And I know that it is election day and there will not be any political conversation on this show, I promise you that, but I do hope that you can use these next few hours, whether it was Doug's show, my show, or The Drive, and use it as an escape, right? Use it as a way to block out the noise if you're stressed about it, if you're worried about it. I get it. I totally do. It's always a big moment, whether it's the national election or even some of the local elections that will be covered tonight over on News Talk WANI for their election special. That's 98.7 FM, 1400 AM. So be sure you tune into that 7 to 10. But use this as an escape, man. And I promise you won't hear any of that here on this station. So where do you want to start? I mean, we've got a rundown, but I feel like there's so many places you could start, right, with how college football played out this past weekend, Christian, with results in the SEC, results around college football, and of course Auburn Vanderbilt, which we'll get to some more of later today.
Well, first I want to throw a curveball, I guess pun intended. I didn't kind of just came up, but a shout out to our distant friend Lindsey Crosby. No baseball power hour on Tuesdays.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Really quick news on the Braves. Joe Jimenez most likely going to be out 8 to 12 months. Ooh. Following a surgery, could miss the entire 2025 season. The Braves exercised the 2025 option for Marcell Ozuna, so he will be coming back for the Braves.
Ozuna.
The Braves declined options for Travis d'Arnaud and Luke Jackson.
The d'Arnaud one raised a lot of question marks.
It did, but I think that that's strategical. I think that you could get him for less. I think he would be willing to come back. Just
it's a risk.
It is, but he's not going to be that guy you require to be behind the dish day after day. He's going to be an every other day type of guy, somebody for the Braves that can contribute kind of become that key role player if needed.
Of course, the fear is letting him walk for nothing, right? And if he ends up going somewhere else, fans were saying, oh, if you're going to let him walk, you may as well have traded him to get something for him. Totally understand. But the Braves, it seems like they're pretty confident that they're going to be able to get him back.
They are. And then the Braves, as of about an hour ago, are reported to have made a push for Teoscar Hernandez following
I did not see this.
His World Series run with the Dodgers. Again, I mean, that was 30, 40 minutes ago.
Gotcha.
And then the Braves also did reach out and make something with Max Fried, which he will decline, and then it will go from there. But just really quick, so Lindsay, if you're listening, hopefully that was good enough for you. You can check out everything with Braves today. But, you know, if he's listening, hopefully he'll be proud of that little segment with everything. But
baseball power minute?
I mean,
minute and a half? Hey, good enough. A lot of Braves news, a lot of baseball news. Hey, you've got NFL trade deadline stuff going on right now. We won't really get into that a whole lot, but tons of stuff happening around the world of sports. Let's get to the phone lines here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. We'll kick things off with Jones. You're on the line. What's up?
How's it going, Jacob?
Going all right. What's on your mind?
Jacob, I'm probably in the 1% or less of people that think he needs to go right now.
Okay.
Everybody's going to give the rationalization that he's a great recruiter and they haven't given him enough time. You know, when he took the job at Auburn, Auburn was in a downward spiral for many, many years. Mm-hmm. They needed somebody who literally could put on their chin strap and their coaching whatever and get it happening right away. He's had plenty of time. We've seen the sample size. I don't think he's got it. I don't think he's going to get any better with it. To hell with the quarterback situation. That's irrelevant. We know that's a catastrophe right there. But the bottom line is, if they keep him and say, well, let's keep him until the middle of next year, it's just going to continue to put us – right now, Auburn is where Vandy was for 100 years. It's pathetic. It's nauseating to watch. And it just breaks my heart to hear all these rationalizations from Auburn fans that say, give him another chance, or another year, or he's a great recruiter. All that's bunk. Bottom line is, he needs to go right now. I can tell you, he's not the man for Auburn University.
Who's period. The solution, Jones? Who's the solution in your mind?
You know, it doesn't matter to me. If I was Jimmy Rain, yeah, I'd sit down and have a few interviews in Atlanta and whatever. You know, when you run a business and you're in sales, and you are too, you have a hunch when you know something's not right.
Sure.
You don't know who the solution is. You know who the solution ain't, and it's you. Now, am I going to interview Durkin? Hell yeah. Am I going to interview an offensive guy? Sure. Everybody's got their opinions that Auburn needs to put a defensive guy and hire an offensive coordinator. You need somebody that's got the swagger that Hugh doesn't have. I don't know if he needs to go to your clinic you advertise and get rid of that low T he's got, but it's awful to watch. I can't stand to look at his whiny little face on the sideline. I think Harsin was a much better in-game coach. Harsin blew it up by not recruiting at all. That notwithstanding, Harsin was a better game day coach, Terry Bowden. We could go on and on. You can't make the right decision. So, Jacob, who's the right solution? It doesn't matter. Bottom line is you got the wrong solution sitting there now. So cut him loose. Then go after your interviews.
Appreciate the call, Jones. Great to hear from you, my man. 334-321-1390. Looks like somebody else calling in. We're going to get to that in just a second. Christian, I'll leave it to you first. Your thoughts? Jones has flipped the page. He's done. He's out on Hugh Freeze.
Well, I definitely don't think that he's in the 1%. I think there are more that are continuing to get to that point, especially with the results that continue to happen. I don't think that he is in the 1%, if anything. We just need to be the mediators with all of the phone lines lighting up right now. But, oh, man. It's hard to try and say that there's a problem without finding that solution. And that's kind of the biggest worry that I would have is, you know, with Harsin, that was an issue. You got rid of him and then tried to go find the solution. And then if we're at this point right now where there's not somebody that's going to be walking in or you're not already planning a step or two ahead, I feel like that could put you even further behind.
And I think it's fair to say that Hugh Freeze was not Auburn's first choice either.
I would agree with that. And then again, if you let Freeze go now, you're going to have somebody come in to fight for the recruiting class. And if that's the biggest argument that everybody has towards Freeze, about him staying another year, you lose that completely if you let him go.
Which is why T-Bone and I were talking a little bit yesterday about, instead of cutting ties with Freeze, if you do want to save him for recruiting and put him in the CEO role, where, look, the responsibilities of a head coach nowadays, it's no secret they've grown. And let's be honest, Hugh Freeze has made that very vocal. He will be the first one to tell you that the job is more difficult than it's ever been. And so rather than just adding to their plate and adding to their plate and having the expectations continue to be high, and don't take this the wrong way, Auburn fans. There's nothing wrong with having high expectations. But you could almost be a trendsetter where you take a head coach like Hugh Freeze, who has visibly and obviously struggled in coaching football this season. He has struggled mightily coaching on and off the game field, right? I'm talking in practice, in the locker room, and on Saturdays. He has struggled mightily. But recruiting is still really in his wheelhouse. And I think connecting to the players a lot of times is in his wheelhouse too. So why not go find coaches that can be underneath him, that can take a lot of that and do it themselves, where he can be an oversight committee, but you find guys that are better than him, knowingly better than him, and let them do their jobs rather than saying, well, you're the head coach, you've got to do it all. I don't know. I think that could be one of these things in college football that you could see changing over the next 10 or 15 years because the just insanely minded coaches like a Nick Saban and people like that, they don't exist anymore.
And that's what I was going to bring up, Nick Saban. I don't think this is happening at Alabama, but the way you're talking about it is something to where it's almost like you give Hugh Freeze the 50-yard line press box seat and let him kind of oversee everything while the coordinators are the ones that are able to be on the field and make the in-game decisions, and he continues to just overlook that and handle the off-the-field stuff, which we've seen him continuously be great at.
I think that's a lot, right? That's a lot of moderations and a lot of changes to keep somebody around in hopes that it works. I totally understand that part of it. But I also don't want to see Auburn go through another coaching search and another buyout and actively pay three fired head coaches at the exact same time. That's what I don't want to see for this program. 334-321-1390. Andy, you're going to be first up when we come back. And we're just underway here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Let's get to the phone lines once again here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. Andy, you're on the line. What's up, man?
Hey, I just had a call in after that last caller. I'm not going to call him foolish, but that was just such foolish talk. But you guys hit every point. I mean, to pay someone, another person, and you guys hit it right. So I just don't want to hang up and be rude.
We appreciate it. We appreciate you, calling in, at least going on the other side of it. And, it's funny because we were going to talk Auburn Vanderbilt today. We appreciate you hanging in there, Andy, and giving your 2 cents, and you're a loyal listener. We appreciate that. And we were going to talk Auburn Vanderbilt today, but I think this is a great way to get it started. I'm with you, Christian. I don't think Jones is in a 1%. I think that group is getting larger seemingly by the day, not just with results, but man, it's the way that Freeze has handled the results. And it's the fact that nothing, and I mean nothing, has changed from week one to what? Now week 10 of college football? We're 10 weeks in to college football going in. Is this week 11 that we're walking into right now? 10 or 11, whichever one. And Auburn, at least on the offensive side of the football, they're defensively, we'll get there in a second because they deserve all the credit in the world. But offensively, special teams, and at the end of the day, the results, it looks the exact same from when this team started the season. And I'm not talking about a game against Alabama A&M. I'm talking about your first real game against California. Yeah, certain things have changed here and there. You've cut back on interceptions, sure. Right? You've played better defense, which you never played bad defense, but they've just continuously gotten better, and more young guys get in, and they still hold up their end of the bargain. But at the end of the day, tell me what has changed. And the fact that we just had radio silence, that is the problem.
The biggest change that we've had is our points per game offensively have gone down.
In just this season.
And I didn't think that was possible.
Did you hear the stat from T-Bone yesterday? From last year's Auburn team to this year's Auburn team in Power 4 football games. Did you hear this stat that he gave? You want to hear the difference in points per game average? Auburn last year versus Auburn this year in Power 4 games? Auburn is 8 points worse than they were a year ago. Where that squad and that coaching staff got ripped apart. And we said, give it to Hugh. Let Hugh call plays. Let him get in there. He's the genius. He can fix it like Felix. Fix it, Felix. He can fix it. He can fix it. And then what were we told? Oh, I'm going to have a much bigger part of the game plan. I'm going to be a part of that, and I'm going to call plays. And remember, he almost got upset when we asked him about that in the media to start the season. I'm calling plays. He said, there may be some times where they can get in, but I'm calling plays. And here we are. And you've gone backwards.
And every single week or every single day to start the week, it's, I guess we should have coached them better. I guess I should have called better plays.
I wonder who controls that. I wonder who has a say in that, coach. And so with people like Jones, again, I refuse to believe, and I know it's not true because I hear it, because that's a growing thing.
And imagine what it would be like next Saturday. Jordan-Hare Stadium will show you capacity-wise that that's not the 1%.
Yeah.
And imagine what it could look like Saturday afternoon if Auburn is not careful.
They asked him about Boo Birds in the post-game presser, and he was like, yeah, I didn't hear those. Whatever. Don't lie. Don't sit there and lie. How can you not hear it when 40,000 plus are booing you? I'm not saying everybody booed him on Saturday, but a lot of them did. And it's when the offense continues to stall out. It's when the offense puts up 7 points against a team that Georgia State dropped 30 plus and beat them at their house. So you tell me. I don't get it. And so, again, I'm never the one that's in favor of, hey, we got to get this guy out year and a half in, a little over a year and a half, less than 2 years, I guess is the best way to say it now. Less than 2 years in, nope, not working, got to go. But, man, when there's no progress being made on the field, which I seem and I feel like people are forgetting this, right? Oh, but the recruiting's great. Awesome. I compared it to Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M yesterday. Their recruiting classes were historical, broke records. But yet, why did he get fired, Christian?
Because he won 5 games.
He could not win games. He couldn't win. He could not produce. He couldn't get it done where it mattered. On the grass on Saturdays, inside the stadium, whether it was at home or on the road. That's why Jimbo Fisher got fired. And if Hugh Freeze doesn't turn it around, that'll be the reason he gets fired. And now look at Texas A&M. To play this side of the argument for fun, now look at Texas A&M. Everybody said, oh, if you fire Jimbo, all the recruits are going to leave. No, they didn't. Some of them did. Texas A&M has the benefit of a very strong NIL, but so does Auburn. Auburn's NIL is really, really good. It was not good to start. But they have built that thing up tremendously. And so Auburn is not going to be in a situation where they miss a recruit because they don't have the money. They may miss a recruit because they don't want to pay somebody. Right, Hugh?
That didn't happen, though, did it?
No, no, no. Auburn was...
Ain't no
way Auburn would not spend the money to go get a good player that would make their team better. Ain't no way they would do that, right? And so... if you are the person that's playing, and I'm not hating on you, I'm pushing back, I'm playing different sides here. If you're concerned with letting go of Hugh Freeze because you're going to lose the recruiting class, look at Texas A&M and what they're currently doing right now. That's my response.
We found ways to win games. I mean, you're sitting at 7-2, you're second place in the SEC right now.
I think that's good.
I mean... I would say so. I mean, somebody bet the house that they would get under that, and now all of a sudden they've been proven wrong.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know who the heck that was. Yeah, what an idiot. Hopefully they don't put that guy on the radio. Hopefully they don't let him host his own show. That'd be terrible.
That would be, I mean, whew. You want to talk about the epitome of just a radio head.
Embarrassment. That's what that would be. Could not be me, though. We're 30 minutes into hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Lots more to get to. Results from college football. Results from college basketball. College football playoff. Can we get it all in? We're going to try.
Are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm Jacob Goetz. He is Christian Griffin. We'd love to get you in and a part of the show. 334-321-1390. That's the phone line number. You can also shoot us a text, 334-784-1067. And we'll get back to the Auburn football conversation a little bit later, but you know what started last night, don't you, Christian? The greatest season of them all. College basketball, baby. It is back, and it started last night, and it started with an absolute bang. You said it in the open. You had upsets. You had court stormings. You had a little bit of everything last night where there wasn't any, like, there were a couple of good matchups, but it wasn't just like a stacked slate from start to finish. But man, there were some really, really good games, exciting results, and interesting ones too, because we got to see quite a few opponents that Auburn's going to play this year.
They are. And you said that I said court stormings. I believe I said stort cormings.
Yeah, you said something that wasn't English, but you really did try.
I did try, and that's, you know, that's all that really matters. No, what an opening slate. Again, not something that you look at. It was almost kind of like last week or a couple of the other weeks in college football, to where you look at the opening night games and you're like, okay, well, there's a couple of them that are
really good. Yeah,
I'll watch because it's on. And all of a sudden you look up and you're changing the channel and there's 4 minutes left and the home team that's a 20-point underdog is up by six, and now you all of a sudden watch on the edge of your seat again. Texas A&M and UCF. A&M was up double digits, I believe, early in the second half. UCF comes back to beat them 64-61. A bunch of ranked teams played each other. And the one game that was actually supposed to turn out really, really exciting was Baylor and Gonzaga. A number 8 team in the Baylor Bears and Gonzaga number 6. And, I mean, I don't know if we can say that it's Gonzaga's year because they don't play anybody. Well, they started off by playing the number 8 team in the country and beat them by 38.
I'm going to be honest here, ladies and gentlemen. This game started at, what, 10:30?
10:30, yeah.
I did not stay up and watch this game coming off of the weekend that I had of the sickness, and I just needed some sleep, and I'm trying to fix my sleep schedule. I got up and saw the score this morning and had to go back and watch like some highlights and be like, man, what in the world happened in this game? Now, I do want to say this. I do think that Baylor and Gonzaga are both really, really good teams. And I think Baylor will be a good team at the end of the season. But there is something to be said about preseason top 25 rankings that I think you have to take with a grain of salt. I mean, you're ranking a team 8th in the country before they play a single game off of what you think they're going to do and how good you think they're going to be. So I think that's something you have to take into consideration.
Did you see the end of the game?
No.
Mark Few, you know, the coach for Gonzaga, put his son in the game.
His son got posterized. I mean, got yammed on.
Like, dude almost jumped over him.
Yeah, he got yammed on. And then, did you see the post-game press conference where Mark Few had like 3 players sitting with him and they asked about it and they all just like started looking at each other and died laughing?
It's one of those ones where it's like the teacher's mad so you know you're not supposed to laugh, and it just makes it that much funnier.
And Coach Few, which he kind of chuckled it off. I didn't hear what he said, but yeah, man, he put his son in, which is a really cool moment, right? It's like, all right, cool. You get your son in there. It's a blowout. You're getting to play in a top 10 game. And
he tried to draw a charge.
Well, he tried. He tried, but, I mean, got put on a poster. He'll be hanging on a wall somewhere in Gonzaga land. Oh, my goodness. 101-63 final score for the Baylor Bears. Oh, yeah, show it again. Here we go. This doesn't do anybody any good on the radio side, but it's going to really entertain us. Here we go. Yeet! And, man, hit the floor. The dude lands on 2 feet, just looks him over like LeBron, and just walks away. That's so nasty, man. Do you think he'll play again this year? I don't think I'd show up.
Would he want to?
I wouldn't show up anymore, man. Whew.
I mean, that looked like
dude, you know,
Sky Zone trying to dunk it over your little brother on a trampoline.
That's a great example. You know they're going to give him crap for that till the end of time. I mean, he will never live that down on that basketball team until he retires. And they're going to have a reunion in 20 years, and they're going to say, hey, remember this? Play.
It's going to be the meme of Gonzaga. If there's like a college game day, it'll be every team dunking on Gonzaga. But that being said, I mean, you take it what it's worth. The fact that it's a shame that almost highlights the game rather than the fact that Gonzaga beat Baylor by 38 points.
Yeah, I mean, 101 points on a team like that at Baylor that prides itself defensively in college basketball. I mean, that's a really good win. Now, as I said, the question will become, how good will Baylor be this year? I think they're still going to be a really good team. So this may just go down as Gonzaga being really, really good. Other than that, couple of results that were not in the top 25, but are relevant because they were in the SEC. I mentioned that there were some upsets last night, and you mentioned them a little bit already. A&M, this was a huge upset. Top 15 team in the country plays UCF. And what was a low-scoring, gross game, 64-61, and UCF comes out on top and beats Texas A&M and storms the court on the Aggies opening night of college basketball.
I was going to ask, what are your thoughts on that? Is that something that you embrace by making it to where it just makes the environment that much better? You get rewarded, or is it a, hey, this is week one, we need to act like we've been there?
I mean, I think you can take it both ways, but for an unranked team to beat a top 15 team on opening night, sure, why not? I mean, celebrate. Now, my thing is with UCF, you've put yourself in the spotlight in terms of college basketball. I know a lot of people are still focused on football, but we're going to focus a lot on both on this program throughout the next few months. But UCF, you just put yourself in the spotlight of college basketball.
Yeah.
Can you back it up? Now you've got to prove, okay, was that a fluke? Did you catch them on opening night? Or did you actually beat a good team? And can you back it up?
Texas A&M was up 56-45 with 6.5 minutes to play. They were still up by 9 with 4:52 to play, and then just went on a cold streak. And by cold streak, I mean 1 point in 4 minutes to end the game on the road. And you outscored 12-1 in the final 4 minutes of the game. And, I mean, that kind of sums it up for itself. Just couldn't do anything on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, that's an A&M team that prides itself on defense, too.
Yes.
And, I mean, you only gave up 64 points. You did your job on that end of the floor. You just couldn't score. You scored 61 total points.
You shot 7 of 23 from 3, which, I mean, was 30%, which isn't terrible. But I believe they were, like, 4 of 9 in the first half.
Oh, gotcha.
So,
okay.
In the second half, just could not find nylon.
Yeah, I didn't get to catch the first half of that game. I caught the last, 10 minutes when it was all of a sudden, hey, this is a good game. And I was like, oh, okay, cool.
UCF also shot 17 more free throws than Texas A&M did. Texas A&M was 8 for 14, which doesn't help that your case is, 57% from the free throw line. UCF was 22 of 31.
Wow.
And how many times have we seen something like that, too, where
such
it comes down to free throw shooting, and it's such a big gap favored to one side?
Another upset that happened last night at college basketball, which is now an SEC, right? An SEC result, number 19, Texas, which there's a lot of people that hate on Texas basketball. They get so much love every year in the preseason, and it's just been so long since they've done something relevant in long-term postseason success. Number 19 team in the country, they play Ohio State out in Las Vegas. Buckeyes get them 80-72. And ladies and gentlemen, when I sit here and tell you, I hope I've said this before, and I'm not saying this after a win, I've said it on other places, Ohio State's a really good team.
They are.
They are a really, really good team this year. They're going to make some noise in the Big Ten, I promise you.
And they will, and we get them in Atlanta.
Yes, Auburn plays them in Atlanta for the Holiday Hoopsgiving.
Again, we watched some of that one just because that was the first time that we'll be able to watch some of that team, some new names as expected with the majority of teams, but played really, really well together. Had, oh gosh, I want to find the stat.
I mean, some of the dudes you need to know while you're looking for that. I mean, Bruce Thornton, he's a man. Micah Parrish, he's a man. John Mobley, he's a man. I mean, there's a couple of guys. Aaron Bradshaw, the Kentucky transfer, had 2 points last night.
Yeah, they were 14 of 28 from three.
How much?
14 of 28.
Holy smokes.
They made 14 threes, shot 58%. They made 27 field goals, and 14 of them were from behind the arc. The other stats. Nope, never mind. The three-point line was the one that I was looking at. The other game, I believe the one it was, I think it was UCF where the assist to turnover ratio was like crazy high.
Ah, got you. Well, again, that Ohio State team, I'm just telling you, watch out for them because listen to their non-conference games. Oh my gosh, listen to this. They get Texas, they won. Two more games from now, they're going to play at Texas A&M. Texas A&M welcomes in that Ohio State team, right, to Aggieland. They also play Auburn, of course, as we mentioned. And they play Kentucky before, and they play Indiana State before they get fully into Big Ten play. And I've said it for a while now, Ohio State and Michigan, those are two teams out of the Big Ten that people need to worry about. Michigan's got Dusty May as their head coach, former Florida Atlantic, not FAU, Florida Atlantic head coach that took this team to a Final Four. They also have a lot of great transfers, as does Ohio State, one of those transfers at Michigan being former Auburn point guard Trey Donaldson. So really looking forward to him playing there up in Ann Arbor. And yes, Auburn plays Ohio State, Holiday Hoopsgiving in Atlanta. That is Saturday, December 14th. That could end up being a really, really good game for Auburn and a good win if you're able to get that, especially, Christian, with the season opener tomorrow, especially if Auburn is struggling trying to get big wins versus the likes of Houston and Duke and Purdue. Like, you're going to need some of those wins, and that Ohio State win could go a long, long way in come March.
It definitely could, and the fact that it's not at home, because we've talked about it to where if you're at home, a big win is almost not discredited, but it counts a lot less than a road win or even a neutral site game. And so even though it's in Atlanta, which is obviously a little bit closer to Auburn than it is to Columbus, Ohio, it would still count as a neutral site game and would, as you mentioned, it'd be a really, really big game for Auburn. Just putting the ribbon on the one thought that I had, it was the Gonzaga-Baylor game. Gonzaga had 25 assists, only 8 turnovers.
You were going to find it.
I was going to find it, just so that way there wasn't going to be something. But 25 assists, they actually had 11 turnovers, only had 19 fast break points as well, and they put up over 100 points.
Gosh, that's half-court efficiency, man.
The epitome of we're going to use 25 seconds of the play clock and get a bucket.
A couple of other results in the SEC before we get to another break here in hour number one. Kentucky rolls over Wright State. I don't know. I don't understand the lack of love for Kentucky in the preseason. It's not a Kentucky hate or anything. They're just predicted to finish, what, like 7th in the SEC?
Which I don't think is a discredit as much to Kentucky as it just shows how deep the SEC team is.
I think
SEC,
they're going to have something
the
to say.
The league is, and I definitely agree. I think Mark Pope is going to be fantastic there. He's going to catch a lot of people off guard. You heard about it. If you weren't at the Auburn game and you watched it on TV, you got to hear the interview with Bruce Pearl, and he was talking about how, you know, Auburn is one of the top teams in the SEC, but crazy enough, you could finish 10th in the SEC if things don't turn out or don't fall the way that you were hoping they would fall, yet you could still find your way into the tournament as a double-digit finishing place in the SEC. A
lot of SEC teams in action last night. Oklahoma takes down Lindenwood 93-60. Missouri stumbles in their first game. They lose to Memphis 83-75. Who, by the way, did you see this? They had one of their big-time players transfer yesterday. Memphis had a guy announce their transfer yesterday because he was not given the promised NIL money.
So not transferring to, transferring from.
Transferring from. Wow. Yes, transferring out. Day of the game. Day one of college basketball announcing he's not going to play, he's going to transfer because he did not receive the promised NIL money that Memphis said they were going to give him.
How about this as well? The North Florida Ospreys defeats South Carolina.
Yep.
On the road, 74-71. I mean, that South Carolina team was expected, or I mean, still is expected, to make a little bit of noise in the SEC this year. But man, no court storming since you're on the road, but what a win for the Ospreys.
What a win for sure. A couple of other results I want to get to really quickly. Tennessee handles Gardner-Webb. You had Ole Miss handle Long Island. Mississippi State takes down West Georgia. Speaking of Georgia, they struggled with Tennessee Tech last night. They had to escape 83-78. Vanderbilt takes down Maryland Eastern Shore. Sure, right? 102-63. Florida beat a really gritty South Florida team last night. That South Florida Bulls team would not go away, but that just shows how good Florida can be and how much and how hard they play for their head coach. And you know me, I love this dude.
Or there, I mean, you see the videos of their players diving on the floor, and he was going to pick them up, and as they're sitting there,
he's high-fiving
him like
it,
six
man.
Or seven times, just That's showing a little dude. Bit of energy. It took a while for Florida to pull away. It was until like the 6 or 7 minute mark in the second half to where they finally got a couple buckets and were able to extend the lead. But that Florida team, I know that's the name you've been circling for
years.
For quite a while.
Yep.
And
I don't think there's
too many people that would be knowledgeable that would try and point you in a different direction.
Your thoughts, did you get any a chance to catch any of the Alabama game last night, 110-54 over UNC Asheville?
I did not. Unfortunately,
yeah.
I was unable to.
Well, they're really good. In case you didn't know already, they are really good. Points wise, last night they were led by Mark Sears, of course, who is playing his 17th year of college basketball. But he's really good. So Amarui had 16 last night. He had a couple of guys off the bench too. Reitzel had 13. Holloway, Aiden had 11 points last night. 3 of 6 from the floor, 2 of 3 from three, and 3 for 3 from the free throw line. Crazy when you're not wearing orange and blue. Apparently, you can just remember how to shoot the basketball in that while. And they played him at the 2 quite a bit last night as well. So Alabama off and running as a number 2 team in the country. We need to get to our final break in hour number 1. Phone lines are open. Be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. We'll wrap up the first hour after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Let's get to the phone lines as we wrap up hour number 1, 334-321-1390. I believe we have Lynn on line 1. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call. So you tell me there's a 17-year college basketball player, did I hear that right?
more of a joke, but yeah, just guys like Mark Sears, and look, Auburn's had their fair share of guys too. Just they've played college basketball for quite some time.
You know how old he is? He's 206.
206.
Yeah. I want to go back to something that I heard on the show. Y'all were talking about head coaches giving more leeway to let the assistants work.
Sure.
Are we going to see more and more of that around the country where the head coaches are just tired of adding 2 and 2 and putting square pegs in round holes?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Are we going to start to see that more and more around the country?
I think it's very possible, Lynn. I really appreciate the call and appreciate the question, because that's something I hinted at that earlier, where I do believe, and that's why I said Auburn could almost be a trendsetter here. If keeping Hugh Freeze is so important to Auburn, which I think to the folks in the building and the ones making the decisions, it probably is from a – and again, Lynn, thanks so much for the call. I really appreciate it. We're up against a break here in just a second, but – for those in the building, those making the decisions and the ones that strike the checks, right, I feel it's pretty important to keep Hugh Freeze around. You don't want to pay him to not work. You don't want to lose recruits. You don't want to go through another coaching search and be the laughingstock of college football, which you're pretty close to that anyway, but you definitely would be again if you go through another coaching search. But to Lynn's point, I do believe this could happen, and I said this earlier where if Auburn wants to keep Hugh Freeze, but he's not capable of doing all the duties that a head coach requires right now, okay, let's reevaluate what the head coach does. And guess what? That could be different at every college football program. It doesn't have to be a cookie cutter job anymore. It doesn't have to be a cookie cutter position where an IT director at this place is the same as an IT director at this place, or a bank teller here does the same thing as a bank teller at the, you know what I'm saying? Like, just because it has the same title doesn't mean it has to have the same responsibilities.
Yeah, it's not a contract that is printed out for the exact same for every team, and all they do is back out the one team and insert your name in there.
Yeah, put the different logo in there.
Right. And I mean, again, you talk about being a trendsetter. That would be a really nice way to blend the old school type of football to the new era of college football, to where Hugh Freeze, again, where he does all of that side of things really well, because you used to really have to go out and fight for recruits. Now you make it to where it's a little bit different of an age. He now uses that and can blend it with the newer guys in college football that know the way that it works completely on the field.
Yeah, you go into a recruit's house and you say, look, here's my program, here's what I've built, and here's who I have underneath me to make us successful. This is what you can be a part of. It's not all about me. I now have a unit that we can sell rather than just one person. That's fascinating. And I want to continue that to start hour two, because we've got multiple text messages to get to as well. Hour number one in the book. Stick around. Hour number two coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go and listen to the podcast version of the show. We take the audio posted on our station website for you each and every day. That's at ESPNAU.com, so be sure that you go and check that out. In hour number one, had some good conversations. We talked about some big results around college football with the college football playoff rankings coming out tonight. We need to talk a little bit more about that here in hour number two, probably near the end of the hour, just with those rankings coming out, how that's going to look, how that's going to work, and all that good stuff. So had a lot of that in hour one. Also had some really good phone calls and text messages in hour number one. We got some more to get to here in hour number two. And talked a little college basketball as the season is officially underway. Auburn does not play until tomorrow, but there were some big results last night. Couple of games tonight, nothing crazy. Seems like most of the sports world has taken tonight off just with the election and everything going on. Just seems to be, I guess, easier for them to not play tonight. So talked a lot about all that in hour number one, so you can find that at ESPNAU.com. Here in hour number two, more college football talk, more Auburn talk. We started to get into the weeds on a really good conversation, and have a feeling we're going to get deeper into that here to start hour number two. And then whatever else is on your mind, we want to hear from you on the Tuesday edition of the show. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to us, or you can shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And before we get to some of those texts and continue our conversation, want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here on ESPN 106.7 during On the Line, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. And Christian, we were talking there to end hour number one, something we had gotten into a little bit in hour number one in the beginning of it, and Lynn called in and kind of accelerated this conversation a little bit. He was asking When or if, I guess when and or if, could there be a day in college football? And I think for us, particularly for Auburn, could there be the day where the head coach of a college football team is no longer what a head coach used to be and becomes more of a CEO? Our terminology, I think we came up with, it's not a new term, but the general manager of a college football team, because I said this a couple of weeks ago, my loyal listeners know this, I'm no longer calling them college football programs, they're college football organizations,
yeah,
because of how big they've gotten, how much money they have, and just the power that they have. I mean, it runs cities, literally. And so, will there be a day that a college football coach's role that has been the basically the same for 100 years, could that day change? Could that role change? And could it be different at every university across the country? I very well think that could happen. And we were starting to get into it. And again, we've got some text and a phone call we need to get to. Auburn could be the trendsetter in that and change the role that Hugh Freeze has.
They definitely could. We've seen it recently with college football, how the long narratives of titles have changed. Even the college football coach has evolved a little bit, but not to the extent that we're talking about. But I think you could very well see it to where, yeah, take Hugh Freeze, for example, with everything that he does really, really well, which is everything off the field, the recruiting classes that he does, his ability to get guys on campus and relate to them. It's something that he's done for years, and you continue to see it now into the new world of college football, yet you've seen the results on the field not work with what he used to be able to do and where he used to find success. Now, whether or not that's because of the certain arguments of not having the players or not having the right guys or just not being able to execute,
that's up
for personal interpretation or personal opinion or whatever it may be, but you give him the title of he is now the GM for the Auburn University football team, and you go out and you possibly, you even go back, and we were talking about this, go back into your contract, go back in and possibly even take out responsibilities, maybe pay him a tiny bit less, but knowing that you're going to go out and get an offensive genius and a defensive genius that might end up making more money than you. But it's because they're under you, you're the one that's overseeing everything, and you allow the brand to continue to blossom. And like what you were talking about, if you're Coach Freeze, again, in this example, you walk up into a recruit's house and go, hey, this is what we have built. It is no longer just, this is why I need you to come to Auburn. It is, look at this talent that we've built. Look at the guys that are within this organization that will prove you to make the next steps that you need to make. This is why you should come to Auburn.
And I think you could also see in a world, and Brad, we're about to get to you on the phone lines, my man, you could see a world where, man, think about college football nowadays and the amount of coordinator turnover that there is. I mean, yeah, it is every year dozens and dozens and dozens of coordinators leave their jobs to become new head coaches. Why? Because, yes, they want to be the top dog, but they want to make the most money. They want to grind. They want to get to the top. That's what the great ones do. But, man, you could see a world where, take DJ Durkin, for example.
You get paid to be the best at what you do.
You get paid to be the best at what you do.
You could
be the highest paid defensive coordinator, and that role, I think, means more in this scenario that we're playing here. You go to somebody like DJ Durkin, you say, hey, we're going to pay you, what, $6 million a year, and we want you to be here for life.
Yeah.
And guys like him may just do it.
Make it to where, again, you're making right at that amount, but you're not having to take on the responsibilities of a head coach. You're now getting paid and compensated for what you're good at.
Yeah, and being respected for that. Yeah, like you said, being compensated for that. And your job is to strictly coach. Like, yeah, you can go on some of these recruiting trips if you're needed, but let a guy like Hugh Freeze do that, right? And I think, too,
at least get him to campus.
Sure, yeah. And I think, too, the idea here is when you're hiring a new coach, when you're in that position as a program, you go in with all these interviews and you say, okay, Tell me what you're good at.
Yeah.
Tell me what you can do. Right? What do you need your role to be? And then they're going to have their list, and you're going to say, okay, this is what we think we need, and you try to mesh those together, and you find the guy that's right for the job, and then you find coordinators to fill the spots in terms of coaching on the field, right?
Are there any examples off the top of your mind, and this is more so just a topic, I guess, for anybody if they're listening, 334-321-1390, have there ever been any coaches, like a great defensive coordinator that became a new head coach and all of a sudden it didn't work from the standpoint of then their offense just collapsed and it made it to where, because again, you're having to hire new people for that role, that it just doesn't allow success, rather than what we're talking about where, yeah, you almost get promoted to keep that same title and allow everything else to still work itself out.
How about Venables at Oklahoma?
Yeah, there's. I mean, that's,
I think it's a current example.
Yeah.
334-321-1390. Brad, we appreciate you holding on, my man. What's on your mind?
Two things. I guess I need some clarification.
Sure.
With only three games remaining in the season, is it possible for, and I know I haven't been able to listen to much of the conversation today, but somebody like a Walker White, if he comes on and he plays three games, it does not affect his red shirt. Is that correct?
That is correct, Brad. Thanks for the question and calling in. That is very much correct. Kids now get four games where you can come in two games and participate in games, and you can still keep that red shirt tag.
Okay. And the other thing, and this is something that I was with somebody else today, and they had another sports call-in radio show on something that was a little disturbing to me, and I don't know if you guys had heard this or not, but they were talking about Coach Freeze and his lack of preparedness, but saying that he does enjoy his golf game, and he's been spotted several times, you know, on the golf course and that type of thing, versus, you know, I guess being in his office trying to work up a game plan that you know the university can put forward or put on the field and hopefully try to win a ball game. I didn't know if you guys had heard anything like that or not.
I'll be honest. I've seen some of those, right? I guess the best way to classify that as a rumor, right? Because I haven't seen it personally with my own two eyes, but I have heard some of those things, and you know, whether it's true or not, whether he's out playing golf in the middle of the week or not, I mean, look, at the end of the day, something like that, right, Brad, something like that gets highlighted and echoed because of the losses. If Auburn's winning games, nobody cares. You can play golf as much as you want if you're winning, right? It's the fact that Auburn's losing that something like that, if it's true, that's the reason that it gets amplified so much. And I think we can all agree you need a little time away from work to clear your mind and be, you know, be a human. But whether it's true or not, I can't speak on that. I don't know.
Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Appreciate you holding on, man. We really do appreciate you listening and being a part of the show. 334-321-1390. Somebody else gave an example to your question. How about Muschamp at Florida?
Oh, it's a great example.
That's a great example, isn't it?
Yep. Where a defensive mind just comes in and you still see that team rock on the defensive side because that's what you've mastered, but then trying to fill out all of the holes to complete your team and it just doesn't work. Rather, you take our new example where somebody's the GM and somebody like Muschamp, who's a defensive coordinator at your program, hey, you're a great defensive coordinator. Let's pay you to continue to be a great defensive coordinator, and you don't even have to worry about coaching offense. You don't have to worry about everything else. You coach the defense.
Yeah, and there's no stresses of being the head coach and having all those responsibilities, right, where we had a caller earlier say, it may have been Jones. I think it was Jones at the beginning of the show that was saying, look, fire Freeze. And I asked him who the solution was, and he said he didn't have one, but you start interviewing people, and he said Durkin. Well, rather than going through that entire process, promote Hugh Freeze as a GM or just change the title and pay DJ Durkin and not go anywhere. DJ Durkin ain't the problem. Now, I think he was a good head coach. He was, and then, of course, all that went down during his time up there, and that carried weight with him for quite some time, but that would solve all of that, would it not? It's at least something. It's a change. It's something different, because what Auburn can't do and where this entire situation stems from, what Auburn cannot do and cannot afford to do is for the rest of this year to play out the same way, and Auburn goes, 4-8 if you're lucky? And you go into year three with no changes at all, with the exact same mindset, game plan, and just hoping to God that more players makes this all better.
Or even worse, you press the reset button again.
Again.
And have to just try and figure something out. And then at that point, you're going through three coordinators in 3 years, four offensive whatever mindsets, and how many years zero stability would be created.
Which has been a problem at Auburn since the last 3 years of Malzahn, 2 years at least, the last 2 years of the Malzahn era, where there was little trust, little growth, right? The recruiting went downhill. Then you had Harsin, of course, and you had that fallout, and now you've got Freeze, where nothing has been stabilized other than recruiting, which has grown, of course. But I don't know, man. I just think this would all, it would all solve it. And what I was trying to say earlier is this is something you would want to do when hiring someone new. I don't think this is ideal in terms of trying to do this in the middle of a coach's tenure, right? This is not the spot you want to be in, but it could be a fallback option for a program where you get into it and you're like, man, this just ain't working out, but we don't want to fire you yet, right? Because think about, man, and we have text messages I want to get to, some really good ones too, I promise. I hope those people are still listening, but think about in a normal job. A normal job that respects you as the worker and you respect them as your employer. Like, if you get hired to do something and you're doing it okay in certain areas, but you're failing in other areas, I'd like to think that most good employers are going to sit you down at some point, if they haven't already, and they're going to say, hey, you're doing these things good, but we need you to be better in these areas. It's just not working out. And if they've accepted that, they're going to say, let's find a little bit of a different role. Let's give you some different responsibilities that we think are going to lean towards better what you have to offer, rather than saying, yeah, you suck, you're gone, see you later, we'll find somebody new.
Yeah, you're good at these things, you're not so great at these things, but instead we're going to just let you go and hope that we find somebody that was good enough to do good enough of what you did bad and better of what you did good.
And some places operate that way.
But it's very, very rare that you're going to find somebody that can, again, fill the needs of both of those, when instead, again, if we're keeping that same example, you sit them down, hey, let's take away a little bit of the responsibilities of the things that you're not so great at, because we love the results that you're putting in on the things you're good at. So instead, let's highlight those things and possibly even pay you more for it.
What a crazy idea that is. Couple of text messages that we're going to read off and then respond to when we come back. Phone lines and text box have been lighting up, so thank you everybody for being a part of the show today. Text box number is 334-784-1067. It says, and this is a text that we were talking about earlier, the only way we should keep Freeze is if he hires an offensive coordinator and Freeze recruits and acts like a CEO of the team.
Yeah.
Which is exactly on par with what we have been saying for the past 17 minutes. And I think that's exactly right. Whether that's what Auburn does, I don't know. But I do think it's a possibility that should be considered in the offseason. This person gives a lot of credit to Jones and his call to start the show, which got things fired up today. He says, why is it okay, or he or she says, why is it okay for Harsin to get fired, but Hugh magically gets 4 years? The goal is to win games, not just recruiting battles. You're going to lose the recruits anyway if you can't win games. Says, Hugh is done, and as much as I don't want another coaching change, I want Auburn to win more. That's from Travis in Lochapoca. I think the difference in the Harsin and Freeze thing is Harsin, there's a lot of drama going on there, and there was a lot of back-end things happening, a lot of relationship issues within the building. I have not heard of to those extremes with Hugh Freeze. Remember, those were, I mean, man, you had coups going out against Harsin to get him fired and had stuff with his family coming out. I mean, that thing got ugly. It got really ugly. And nothing like that has taken place with Hugh Freeze as far as I know. And so I think that's the big difference. But in just pure coaching, he's right. I mean, Harsin got the boot immediately. And some coaches do, and other coaches get longer, you know, leashes. So I totally understand where he's coming from This person has a text about On to Victory. He says, I'm not doubting you on the On to Victory, but I would sure love to hear Brett Whiteside with my own two ears tell your listeners that Auburn football has a top five NIL. I'm told we're around 9th or 11th in the SEC, which I don't think that's true. I think Auburn's higher than that, but I don't know the exact numbers, and most people don't know the exact numbers, but I think Auburn has a competitive NIL. There are very, very few instances that I think with big-time recruits, and I feel very comfortable saying this, there are very few times that Auburn football loses on a big-time recruit because they can't afford to pay him. But I think this is where the conversation begins to come in on how much do you really want to pay an 18-year-old high school player in hopes that it works out. People keep talking about Ohio State as the $20 million roster. That's not a joke. They've paid $20 million for that roster. And guess what? They're a loss to Indiana away from missing out on the college football playoff. Do you want to be in that spot? Ohio State doesn't want to be there. Auburn would love to be a two-loss team that just misses out on the playoff. But we're talking at two different levels here. That's the concern with NIL, in my book, in my opinion.
Auburn is currently listed as the 9th-ranked team in the country. In regards to
where's that from?
NIL 247.
Oh, from 24/7. Okay. Well,
so I mean,
take that for what you will, I guess.
Granted, a majority of those are
I'm not going to say assumptions, but they are. I don't know. Is that the correct word to use? Guesses, assumptions. I don't know. Whatever you want to use in there, I guess. Couple of more, and I know we've blown way past the break here. This person says, Freeze is going nowhere. He gets one more year unless he stumbles, perhaps a 2-4 start next year. Oh, goodness, what a disaster that would be. Because remember, Auburn's SEC schedule is the exact same, just flipped home and away. So Auburn will start at Arkansas, at Oklahoma. You'll get Georgia, Missouri, Kentucky at home. You'll go to Vanderbilt, you'll go to Texas A&M, and then you'll have Alabama coming here next year. And then squeeze in, I forget if they have any of Auburn's non-conference games scheduled next year yet. But
again, I mean, your schedule is even more favorable next year.
Is it?
So I would say, just considering the games you have at home versus the road, I mean,
you had 5 straight home games this year. 5 straight. And your road games are not that bad this year. And then you get A&M and Vandy at home? Yeah, you got to go to Bama to Georgia, and I know that always kind of highlights what makes the difficult schedule or not, but anyway, we got to get to break. Speculation. Yeah, maybe that's what I was looking for. Okay, we got to get to break. 334-321-1390. I had to get all those texts in. They've been flying in. Just haven't had a chance to get to all those. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Lots more to get to on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line. On ESPN 106.7, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Let's get back to the phone lines here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Been active today, 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line. What's up?
Hey, Jacob and Christian. How y'all doing today?
Doing good, man. What's on your mind?
Good. Guys, do y'all think fans, and I include myself, because I'm no Hugh Freeze apologist no more. I'm off the bandwagon.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard from you since
the
loss.
Malzahn and Harsin's hiring was, how this program was left.
I talked over you. I'm sorry, Terry. Say it again.
Do you think the fans underestimate how bad the end of Malzahn's tenure was and the hiring of Harsin was?
Yes.
The lack of recruiting? Do you think fans underestimate that?
Very much so, yes. Still, to this day.
I mean, I'm not making excuses for a 3-6 start. But you got to look at that, the big picture. I mean, you know, the fact that they left them so bad.
But I think there has to come a point, Terry, where you can't blame that anymore, right? This is election season, right? Mm-hmm. And this is not, I'm not political going one way or the other, but when a new president and a new regime is voted in, you can only blame the old regime and the past 4 regimes for so long, right? I mean, at some point, you got to get something done. It's the same way in coaching. I mean, yes, bad coaches.
He's done a very poor job of evaluating the talent he's got into his system. He wants him to fit the system, and they don't. Paythorne doesn't fit what he wants to do.
I agree.
And he wants him to do it. He's trying to force a square peg in a round hole, so to speak.
Correct, which has been a very popular term, and I think it represents what Auburn has been trying to do for quite some time, especially in the past year and this year for Auburn. And so while it was bad how Malzahn left it and then it just got drug even deeper with Harsin, it's going to take some time. But, I mean, Freeze has got good players and he's got good coaches. They just can't get it done. And that's not okay. That's not on Gus Malzahn or on Brian Harsin. When you're in every game and your defense doesn't give up but 20 to 24 points a game and your offense can't score more than 7 on a team that gave up 30-something to Georgia State, that's not on Malzahn or Harsin. That's on you, Freeze.
Yeah, that's on him. The poor evaluation of talent and some of the decision-making is on him.
I agree.
On him and his staff.
You know what execution comes back to, don't you, Terry?
No.
Coaching.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Coaching and decision making.
Yeah.
Which is coaching as well. I guess.
I agree.
But it's just been a bad year, and I never thought Auburn was going to be turned into Duke or North Carolina. Thank God for basketball season.
Yeah, basketball starts tomorrow for Auburn.
Take care, guys.
Thanks so much, Terry. Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390.
Goes right back into what we were talking about with let's pay an offensive mind to be an offensive mind. If Hugh Freeze steps into that CEO or general manager role to where find somebody that can take their ego out of not being the title of head coach, but possibly being able to say, hey, I'm the top dog. I'm the highest paid guy for Auburn right now because of how I coach offense. And I can make it to where I don't have one system that is 1A and 1B. And if I don't find something that's successful, I'm going to force it to be successful. So find somebody that can evaluate the players that are on your staff or on your team and find an offense that works for them.
And in terms of recruiting or the transfer portal, you have your coordinators evaluate guys and you say, hey, coach, this is who we need.
These are the three positions I don't feel too confident in, or I would love to get a little bit more depth. Go find me somebody.
Or literally give them a list on the guys that are going to fit their particular offensive or defensive system and say, hey, go get them.
Yeah.
And Freeze says, you got it,
yes,
and
sir.
I'll go get them.
And then 2 weeks later, they're having a sit-down meeting. Let's get something worked out here.
I'm just saying, man. Could work. I don't know. Could work. What do we know? We're just local radio talent. What I do know, though, is we got 30 more minutes on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Give us a call, 334-321-1390.
You are on the line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I am Jacob Goertz with you on ESPN 106.7. Phone lines continue to be open, man, wide open on this Tuesday afternoon, 334-321-1390. You're with me tomorrow, right? Because no Daryl Dapperts tomorrow. He is celebrating his 30th anniversary with his lovely wife. So he is out of town. He will be back with us next week. So we will have Jordan Hill tomorrow of Dogs 247. Lost to get to with him. We'll be able to talk about the first college football playoff rankings that come out tonight. And it's the thing that everybody will be glued to their TVs for, I'm sure. And we said this earlier in the show. I didn't quite go that far. You did. To say that the rankings at this point in the season don't really matter, right?
It would never happen, but I would love for this week to be the first time that teams are ranked. They would never, ever happen because of how much.
Oh, you're saying just to get rid of the AP poll, coaches poll, anything like that?
I mean, again, you never would because of how much money goes into preseason rankings and all of the topics of conversation. But
right.
how many times does stuff like that happen where all of a sudden a team has a great win on the road against a top 25 team early in the year and that team ends up being 6-6 and that win then looks like nothing, rather than if the first time that these true teams are getting ranked, it's week 9, week 10, and that's when they have legitimacy with their name.
I think tonight is more about a couple of not trends, but a couple of statements that the playoff committee can make and what they're going to do with certain situations. And I actually heard Heather Dennis talk about this earlier on ESPN, and Matt Berry asked her what she's looking for in the rankings tonight, and she had a couple of the ones that I had on my list was, how do they rank one-loss teams? Right, teams that we would still consider really, really good. A handful of those teams, Christian, took their first loss this weekend. And that is something, how much of a recency bias is there? I think that's something that always plays into rankings like this. But that was one of them that she said was, how do they rank one-loss teams? Also, in terms of elimination games moving forward, right, we've used that term in the past, but she actually made a really good point, and again, this is from Heather Dinich on ESPN. She said, I don't think it's fair to use that term elimination game in year one of this 12-team playoff because we don't know what an elimination game is, right? Yeah. Does a three-loss team get in? Does a two-loss team get in? How many of those situational teams get in? You know what I mean? And I thought that was a really intriguing point because we like to think that Alabama-LSU this weekend is an elimination game, but I've been quoted several times as saying I think they would find a way to put a five-loss Alabama team into the college football playoff. So is it really an elimination game this Saturday in Baton Rouge? I don't know.
There's two main storylines that I'm looking at, and you kind of hinted at one of them where – or I guess there's one of them you hinted at earlier that kind of leads into this.
I have
this
one. Where will Auburn be ranked in the rankings tonight?
Is there a reverse top 25?
Oh, I thought we were talking basketball. My bad.
I mean, again, that's what everybody's paying attention to. But seeds 11, 14, and 15. That is Alabama, LSU, and Texas A&M. Even you could go even further. 11, 14, 15, and 16. Alabama at 11, LSU at 14, Texas A&M at 15, Ole Miss at 16. How many of those teams will they say are in? How far down will you go? Or is it simply going to be for this first one, just the top 12 teams are where they're listed? It's just not necessarily where they will be thrown, but again, it's not necessarily an elimination game, but what if they throw Alabama in, but LSU is out right now? And then all of a sudden, LSU beats Alabama in Death Valley. Does that just flip them? Does that make it to where so much more goes into it? Again, there's so many variables that have still yet to be worked out that I think will iron themselves out by the time that this 12-team format is truly, truly coming to fruition, coming into its own place. And then second, Boise State is the 12th ranked team in the country right now. Are they going to be the 12th seed in the playoff, or are they going to get somewhere higher? Do you consider them, since they are that group of five team, to be the quote-unquote worst team to make it into the playoff, or will they end up being one of those five, six, seven, eight teams that could possibly host a first-round game?
Well, it's funny you say that because, again, in this interview that Matt Berry was doing with Heather Dinich, it was really fascinating, but he made a statement that made me rethink what tonight is going to be, because this is only going to be the rankings. This is top 25. This is 1 through 25. No more AP poll. We use the college football playoff rankings. But the so-called bracket that they're going to show tonight and that you're going to see over the next few weeks, he said it best. He said, we're going to do that for fun, for entertainment purposes, but that's not an actual representation of what the bracket's going to look like. That's just the bracket based off of right now if it goes chalk and if it were to end today, right? So you're looking at it as Oregon is your Big Ten champ, and what? Georgia or Texas is, I guess Georgia would be your SEC champion.
As of right now, it would be Georgia or Texas A&M.
But I think most people would probably say Georgia, right? So they'll put Georgia in that spot in the automatic bid. They'll put who out of the ACC?
Miami,
yeah, that's right. Big 12 would be who?
You already said it. Oh, Big 12.
Big 12. But that's what I'm saying, right? So that
it'd be BYU, who is currently the ninth ranked team in the country.
His point exactly is you're going to see a quote-unquote bracket come out from the rankings tonight, but that doesn't correlate because that is all based off of what we think is going to happen because of these automatic bids and these qualifiers and then the at-large bid.
Or would they go ahead and rank those teams in the college football playoff to where BYU is not the ninth-ranked team in the country, but they go ahead and put them at four just to go ahead and play into that spot where they make it to where the bracket looks as true as it possibly can tonight?
Which is what I think we're going to find out. I don't think they do that. I don't – because –
it would make – I would rather them.
I agree, but the way that ESPN has talked about it, the fact that they have continued to say just because they're fifth in the rankings doesn't mean they're going to be fifth in the bracket. The way they keep talking about that tells me that it's not going to be ranked that way.
It isn't, but again, it should be because Oregon and Ohio State are both 1-3. But Ohio State, if they finish at third, will not get a first round bye, and so. You would think that it would go ahead and just take that step out of everything, but...
Okay, but then how do you rank Oregon and Indiana? Two undefeated teams in the Big Ten, but haven't played and will not play until they would see each other in the Big Ten championship game. How do you rank... You would rank Oregon higher because of the win over Ohio State, but right. Where do you put Indiana? You can't... You can... It's not fair to say right now that Oregon would win the Big Ten because Indiana's in the exact same boat. Yes, Oregon has a better win, but if those two teams never play and have not played, who are you or who am I or who is anybody to say, oh, psh, Oregon would beat them. Oh, Vegas would say they're favored by 3 points, so let's rank them higher. That's where the flaws start to come in here. That's where the group of college affiliated people that sit in a closet together and make this decision and then don't have to defend it. Here come the flaws of the college football playoff. And I'll take you a step further. Tell me and convince me, since we all know ESPN has a huge play in all of this, convince me that they're not going to rank teams in specific places just to build hype on certain games and build hype on them being in or out and whether they're going to make the college football playoff or miss the college football playoff and try to literally create those elimination games that we just talked about. Convince me they won't do that.
I won't be able to because you could even get, again, going off of what you're talking about, the 8th and the 9th seed makes such a big difference. The 8th seed will host. The 9th seed will go to the 8th ranked team. They would not put Boise State hosting Alabama if that was the case of 8 and 9.
You better believe it.
Alabama would jump to 8, Boise State would go to 9, and Boise would have to go to Alabama, even if it was more deserving for Boise State to host because of they know the environment, they know the money that that would bring in for everything, which we've talked about plenty of times. The dollar sign cures everything, and it also controls everything. They would... That will 100% be the case. Or they would put, if they put Oregon at 1, they would put Ohio State at 5. That way you would see that in the semifinals and you wouldn't have an all Big 12 or a Big 10 matchup in the championship.
Which, if you ask me, that goes against the entire reason that you have an expanded college football playoff.
For sure.
You expanded this thing to get more teams in and to... I don't know if you want to say necessarily make it more fair, but to give more teams a shot. But if it's going to be controlled on the back end on how they want this thing to play out, which it 100% will be, and again, they don't have to defend it. They send their representative out there for softball questions on the national broadcast. Then tell me they're not going to do that. And that's why I don't trust it. That's why it's still like, okay, it's cool that the rankings are coming out, but we're not going to have any answers, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because the prime example is Oregon, Indiana. It is not fair to sit here and say that one team would beat the other until they have played the same number of common opponents and ultimately play each other. Now, Indiana's going to get Ohio State in, I think, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And Oregon already beat them by one in Eugene. So if Indiana goes to Columbus and beats Ohio State, do you say Indiana's better than Oregon? I mean, you could, but that's still not fair to say, right? So that's where I come in is, okay, these new playoff rankings in November, it's just, it's really hard to judge what's going to happen in a month from now.
It's very similar to the preseason rankings, where, again, you're just kind of
yeah.
throwing a number on a team, hoping that throwing in your computer calculations of what they did last year, the freshmen that are upcoming, and then all of the transfers coming in that, right. Yeah, this guy is going to do exactly this on this team. So I know they finished 8-5, but they're going to start ranked as the 14th ranked team in the country because of what they should be able to do. And a really interesting topic, yeah, that you brought up is the way that they will format everything, because it will not be what, I guess going back, what we would love to see is all of these teams, when you're being judged in the closet of conversation, to not have a label of Oregon or Ohio State or anything like that. You are simply looking at a resume.
Aren't they technically supposed to?
They're supposed to, but going back to what you said, they will not do that. But wouldn't you love to see it that way? And worst case scenario, or if it plays out to where Ohio State has to play Indiana in the first round of the playoff, it would happen?
So be it.
So be that it be the rematch, but they would not let that be the case. They would not let Alabama play Georgia in the first round or the second round of the playoffs. They would put them on other sides of the bracket, so that way they would play each other later
in the big game. Right. In hopes that they get to a Final Four or the national championship.
Or if it got to the point where Ohio State and Michigan were both in the playoff, they would not have Michigan hosting Ohio State in the first round of the playoff if it was a 7 seed and a 9 seed or a 10 seed or whatever.
Okay, but wouldn't that be pretty cool, though?
It would be cool, but I don't think they would let it happen. Or going back to my other example, they would not let Boise State host Alabama.
I think that's a better example. I think that's a better example because a first-round playoff game where you have the big game again, Ohio State and – or I guess the game is what they call it, Ohio State and Michigan in the first round of the playoffs, I think that's pretty cool. But I think your example of Boise State hosting, Ohio State or Alabama, like, no, they're not going to let that happen.
I just think even in the first round, I don't think they would want it to happen. I feel like it's almost like these six teams we have to give the best shot because they're the ones that, A, are – quote-unquote, most deserving, will bring in the most money, so you almost have to set them up for the most success.
You were here with me a couple of weeks ago when we had one of our listeners text in and present us with the big game scenario. Who would you rather have in the big game, Ryan Day or James Franklin? Were you with me that day?
I was, yeah. We had to decide on a coach that we would pick. Is that what it was?
Yeah. Well, that listener texted back. He's been one of the very active ones here today. He said, feel good about yourselves, guys, because Franklin was worse than Day in our big game scenario that I presented to you a few weeks ago.
We both picked him, but it both felt like a disgusting pick. You didn't feel happy picking it. But
We picked Ryan Day. We didn't pick good. We didn't feel good about it, but we did pick Ryan Day because – and that's why on game day on Wings when I filled in for Jack Saturday morning – that's why I picked Ohio State.
History,
I didn't feel good about it.
No, but history repeats itself.
History repeats itself. And when it's James Franklin who cannot beat Ohio State, cannot beat good teams, I think that was also the first time Ryan Day has beat a team with a 7-0 record since his time at Ohio State. I'm pretty sure I saw that stat on the broadcast Saturday.
And could you even go as far to say that Ryan Day didn't even win it?
Yeah. But Ohio State or Penn State jumped on them early.
Yeah, sorry. And then, Penn State lost it.
And then just blew it. Again, in Happy Valley,
But so. It's okay. It was a big noon kickoff, so it's a quality loss at home then.
Okay. 334-321-1390. We got to get to our final break. We'll come back, wrap it all up on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Been an awesome show today. This has been a lot of fun. We've had a lot of topics on the program this afternoon. Appreciate everybody being a part of it. Tons and tons and tons of engagement on the phone lines, on the text box, and we appreciate everybody being a part of it. One more text we'll get to as we're wrapping up here. Got a text about the conversation we were just having, Christian, with the college football playoff rankings coming out tonight, the initial ones of the 12-team playoff. And he says he agrees. The schools are now tied to the revenue they receive from the networks and vice versa. Absolutely, they'll pick the matchups they want at the venue that they want. And that's my biggest fear.
And that's why it goes back to when you see the bracket tonight, you'll see where they place Boise State. And I think that is the biggest telltale sign of what that will look like. Because, again, if they are 9 through 12, they'll go somewhere. But if they are a group of five team that they say are better than a two or a three loss team that makes it into the 11 or 12 spot, then they would host. But I don't think that they would want or allow a team like Penn State to travel to Boise State.
Which would be really cool.
It would be. And it would be deserving for Boise State to be able to host a team like that because, I mean, imagine what that would do for that school. Imagine the viewership that, yeah, you've heard of Boise State, you've heard of Ashton Gentry, you've heard of Boise State, the blue field and everything, but you've never truly watched the environment there.
Or the town. I mean, think about the people that are going to go.
That's what I'm saying. Not even the school, but just the town and how everything with that would be affected. I feel like that's almost what you wanted out of college football, playoff going to 12 teams. But if you just restrict it to where more teams are going to have to go to Eugene, Oregon, or I guess not necessarily in this case because they will be get a first round bye supposedly in this first spot, but somebody like in Alabama who sits at 11th right now, they would much rather have them play at home because they know everything that ties in with it.
Sure. And I think, too, it's important to note that the rankings tonight are supposed to be the rankings of what has happened up to this point in the season, right? They are not making the rankings based off of what they think is going to happen. The brackets that you see on TV and the brackets you see online that come from the rankings tonight, that will be the case. So just keep that in mind here. There's a lot to break down from all of this. I am excited to see them, though. I am excited to see the rankings and see what happens. Also, again, doesn't seem to be a whole lot of sports going on tonight. A lot of it is taking a sidestep with the election and things like that. So keep an eye on that. If you want to have something to listen to while you are doing your thing tonight or want some updates on the election, especially on the local races, there's a couple of important local races tonight and, of course, the national election with the presidential election as well. Over on our sister station, News Talk WANI, 98.7 FM, 1400 AM. You can catch that on the Radio Alabama app for those of you that listen to the show there each and every day, 7 to 10. All right, 7 to 10 is our 2024 election special that we're going to have on News Talk WANI, 98.7 FM, 1400 AM, 7 to 10, Ben Taylor, Riley Hubbard, and yes, Uncle T-Bone, Wade Bennett. He is going to be in the studio for election night. He is very fired up. He promised me he would behave, so we'll see if the guys can keep him in check. No, they're going to do a great job, and I'm actually going to be helping out with coverage. I'm going to be on site at the Benny Atkins Center getting results of the local elections, getting some local representatives on for the show, and really looking forward to that tonight, man. Election night is one that I know a lot of people probably dread it, honestly, just because of the impact that it has locally and nationwide. But that's going to be a really good program. The guys have done such great work and a lot of preparation to make this show special tonight. So check that out, 7 to 10, if you're looking for results, some commentary, and some great interviews tonight. 7 to 10, News Talk WANI, 98.7 FM and 1400 AM. Coming up on the show tomorrow here, though, on ESPN, we're going to have Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. We'll talk to him about all things Georgia. Christian, you're back tomorrow. Auburn basketball starts tomorrow. We get to talk about the Tigers hitting the hardwood as they take on Vermont. Really looking forward to that and a lot more college football talk tomorrow. Christian, always enjoy having you in the studio, my man.
Yeah, great time. I'm sure we'll be able to talk about, we'll continue this conversation about the 12-team format now that we'll have those results on the computers tomorrow.
Yep, we'll have that basketball and lots more of your calls and texts. Again, thanks to everybody engaging today, man. Great stuff here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Back tomorrow, 2-4 on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Until then, he is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.